We preached from Jeremiah chapter 1, and we're going to read one verse of scripture in chapter 2. We'll make a little bit of reference to the first chapter also, but just this one verse. Remember, Jeremiah is a prophet to Judah during a time when he is spending, well, about 40 years of his ministry, he spends warning them, warning Judah about impending judgment. He keeps telling them judgment is coming. And what he does in chapter 2 in verse number 13 is he condenses their sins into two categories, just two. Now, many were their sins, but he breaks it down to two different categories. Let's read here, verse 13, Jeremiah chapter 2. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. You remember that Jeremiah, we talked about his calling last week, and as a young man to step into the role of prophet to the nation. And right off, he realized that this was not going to be an easy task. He realized that it was going to be difficult and challenging. That's why he said, "Oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." He wasn't a child. He was probably around 20, maybe 21, 22 years old. He was young, but he wasn't a child. But what he was doing is just expressing the fact that he felt inadequate to do the job. He felt like he was inadequate. But let me just encourage you tonight, just wherever you are, young people, middle-aged people, old people, whatever category you might fit in tonight, I want you to know that if God puts his hand upon your life, if he calls you to a particular task or ministry or work, if he calls you to that, he'll equip you to do it. He'll empower you to do it. So don't ever say, "I can't do it," if you know that the Lord is putting his hand upon your life. That's for all of us here. Everybody here who can step up to do a ministry that the Lord is calling you to do. The Lord said to him, "I'm going to set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant." It was going to be quite a task because he was living in a day when the nation was in trouble. They were in rebellion. They had rejected the fountain of the living God. They had rejected the Lord, and his responsibility was to warn them, to speak to them, and to let them know that there was going to be a consequence that was coming their way. They were going to pay a price for what they were doing. God was just like a parent who disciplines their child. And Jeremiah was that voice that was bringing judgment and discipline to them, letting them know, this is going to happen. You're going to face this, and you need to pay attention and take heed to the words that I am speaking. You know, we know that parents, they have to bring judgment sometimes, consequences, punishment, discipline to their children. They don't do it out of hate. They're not violent toward them. They don't hurt them. But they do bring severe punishment to them. And the Bible says that no chastening for the present time seems to be joyous. We all know that. We've all gone through that when we go through a discipline, if it was when we were a child or a young person or even older folks, when we go against the will of God and we face the consequences of it, it is not joyous, but it's grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. That's what it accomplishes. When a father or a mother disciplines their child, they do it out of love. They do it to bring about a certain end, to accomplish something, to bring them to an awakening, an awareness of the wrongdoing that they have followed. It is not pleasant, but it produces something. It produces something good and worthwhile. So Jeremiah is not harsh. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. The weeping prophet. Jeremiah chapter 9 in verse 1. He said, "Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." So he wasn't harsh. He was compassionate, and he was bringing those severe messages of judgment to Judah, but he was not doing it with severity. He wasn't doing it to bring harm to them. He was doing it because he loved them, and he had compassion, and he had a calling to do the work that he was doing. I think there's some real parallels between what went on in the ministry of Jeremiah, the circumstances that Judah was in, and the times that you and I are living in right now. So let's look at that one single verse there in chapter 2 and verse 13. Two categories of the sins of Judah. What they did, of course, many things that they did, but there were two categories. They had forsaken the spring of living water. They have forsaken the fountain of living waters. That was the first category, because Jesus was the life. He was the living water. Now, we know, because we live in a climate where water is readily available, but that's not the way it is everywhere. As a matter of fact, major cities are built where there is major fresh water supplies. That's why the city sprung up. It sprung up around a water source, around a river. Major cities almost always have a water supply that flows right through the center of the city. I was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma, raised in that city. On the west side, Sand Springs was the name of the town that I was raised in, just about 6 miles out of town. But there is a major river that runs right through Sand Springs and right through the city of Tulsa. And that river is called the Arkansas River. It starts way up in northern Colorado. Way up there in northern Colorado, there is this little narrow stream, narrow enough that you can jump across it. But as it moves down south, and there are different tributaries to that river, it gets wider and wider and wider. By the time that it gets to Oklahoma, the area where I was raised, it's a big river. It's a big river, and the water runs right through the city, and it is a freshwater source for that city. My brother, my younger brother, has just retired from the Tulsa Water Department, and he spent all of his time working on the equipment and the machinery that made sure that that water supply was purified and was what it needed to be to sustain a pure water source for that city. Interesting enough, though, Jerusalem does not have a river running through it. There are two water sources for the city of Jerusalem. Both of them are springs. They're springs. One of them springs up in the pool of Bethesda. The other one is a spring called Gihon. And both of those springs are a major source of water there in the city of Jerusalem. And so God is saying to Judah, you have forsaken me, the source of living water. Do you realize how important water is to your survival? I want you to know it's very important. I've read these accounts lately where they talk about people are, many people are dehydrated and don't even know that they are dehydrated. They have less water than they need to have in their physical body. Your physical body contains about 60%, the human body contains about 60% water. It is important to be hydrated. When Seth asked me, what's the most important thing I can do? Give me some advice about traveling a long distance on a plane. And I said, hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. It is important. I had the bad experience a few years ago of coming out of India. I was already exhausted from all the missionary trip and all that was involved. But I was in a line to get on the plane, the flight, to bring me back to the States. They were going down through the line and saying, is there any that would be willing to take a different route, to go on a different route? And it would route you through Milan, Italy, and then into Atlanta. And so when I looked at the schedule, I realized I'd get home almost the same time. And so I decided, well, I need to use this to my advantage and do some bargaining. So I went up to the counter and I said, I might be interested in taking that flight through Milan, Italy, if you would give me first class. And so they go back and they start talking to people and they come back and they said, all right, we'll give you first class. Let me tell you, the difference between first class and it's like unbelievable, the difference. How well you're treated and how comfortable it is. But here's the problem. That flight to Milan was so comfortable that I went to sleep. And I slept for 8 hours. If you sleep that long on a plane, you're in trouble. You need to drink more water during that process. I did not drink. So when I got off the plane at Milan, I was sick. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I was so weak, I could not hardly walk. And I thought, well, I'm going to die in Milan. No one is going to know where I'm at. My wife don't even know where I'm at. And I just took this flight to Milan thinking I could get to the States and I'm going to die here in this place. I was very, very sick and very, very weak. And thankfully, my first class ticket got me into Delta's special club. What's it called? Anybody know? Yeah, it's a lounge of some sort. It got me in there, and in there they had ice and water and juices, and oh, it was like heaven. All these wonderful things that were provided, and I was able to sit in a very comfortable place and just sip on water and juice and hydrate and get to feeling better, and in a matter of about an hour or so, I was already feeling so much better. Water is absolutely necessary for your physical survival. And it's absolutely necessary because you can become spiritually dehydrated if you do not take advantage of all that's provided. That's why I tell people you need to be in church. You need to be in Sunday school. You need to take advantage of these opportunities because you hydrate yourself, you strengthen yourself, you edify yourself in the things of the Lord. Amen. For they had forsaken the springs of living water. They had forsaken the Lord. Doesn't that sound like America right now? America that has forsaken the Lord. They don't have anything to do with the things of God. I told you how that Brother Harry Ormsby always passes out these little tracts everywhere he goes. He does it here. That's just who he is. In Colorado, he said, it was like I was handing them something that was awful. They would just start backing up from him because when they saw that it was a gospel message or a religious message, because that area has been is so secular now that they have rejected the fountain of living water. They have rejected the Lord. I'm not saying everybody up there has. I'm just saying as a whole, there's many in the state of Colorado and many other liberal states across this country that have rejected God, rejected the Bible, don't want to have anything to do with God or the house of God or anything to do with the Lord. That was the shape that Judah was in. They had forsaken. They committed two sins, two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. Oh, what a sad thing to do that. What had they done? Well, they had gone into idolatry. They had created false gods and were idol worshipers. You know, idol worshipers really are just worshiping themselves because they create the idols. And they're actually just worshiping themselves and they're rejecting the true and the living God. What a sad, sad thing that is. But they're spiritually weak, spiritually feeble. They don't have any ability to reach out and believe God. Let me tell you, it's an important thing for the church to be praying for the United States of America, because there's a whole generation that's being lost and have forsaken the things of God and the Word of God, and the fountain of God has been forsaken in this nation. It's the truth. Right. Amen. And they have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Now, the cisterns are a common sight in the Middle East, especially in places where there's not much water. It's a place that they dig out and hew out in the ground, out of the stone. And it's a water tank, a homemade water tank made in the bedrock there and to hold water. And the disadvantage of it is if that water sits there very long at all, it's going to become affected. It's going to become poisoned. It's going to become contaminated. And algae is going to grow in it. But if you're desperate for water, then you hew out something that can collect the water or hold the water so that you'll have somewhat of a supply of water. But these were handmade water tanks, and it says that they were leaking. They really weren't that much good at all. They were leaking. They couldn't hold the water. They were cisterns that could not hold water. So they were not much value at all. So the first category was they were forsaking the Lord, who is the living water, and then they make something themselves thinking it can sustain them, it can take care of them and provide what they are in need of. We know that there's nothing that you can do to supply a source that can sustain you during these times. We need fresh, living water that is flowing and that is a wonderful provision from the Lord. Amen. Amen. Revelation 21 and verse 6, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Praise God. That's the provision of the Lord. Now, there's an account in John chapter 4. You remember in that gospel text there in John 4, Jesus is going through Samaria and going through an area that most Jews would never go through. But he knew that there was going to be someone there, and he had a divine appointment with this woman, and he was going to meet her at the well, this Samaritan woman, and he was going to change her life. And the whole subject of their conversation was this living water, telling her, you come and you draw in the middle of the day. Most women come in the morning or in the evening, but because Jesus knew exactly who she was, He knew exactly what her needs were, and he was able to deal with her and provide hope to her and let her know, listen, I can give you water and you will never thirst again. I can provide for you. You see, what that woman was looking for, she had tried and tried and tried, and Jesus knew immediately. Because he said to her, where's your husband? She said, I don't have a husband. He said, yeah, you're right. You don't have a husband. You've been married 5 times, and the one that you're with right now is not even your husband. He went right to the heart of her problem, and that was she thought that these relationships were going to satisfy her. She thought, if I could just get the right man at the right time, it's going to solve my problem, and I'll never have anything else that I'll ever need. Jesus knew that it wasn't going to come from all those multiple relationships. He knew it was going to come from knowing who he was, from knowing Jesus, from coming to the Lord. So all of your efforts to satisfy your own desires, all those cisterns that you just try to make to satisfy your own desires, they will never be enough. They'll never be enough. Oh, there's a desperate need in America today because people are trying everything. They're trying everything. They want to make money. They want to have careers. They want to accomplish a lot and have possessions and have everything that the world has to offer. And they walk away from all of that disappointed because the only satisfaction comes from knowing the Lord. Amen. Jeremiah was speaking to a nation that had rejected God and was trying to satisfy their desires by their own doing, by their own accomplishments. He said that's the two evils in this nation. As he was warning them about the judgment that is to come, you have rejected the Lord and you have tried to have a man-made solution to the desires of your heart. That was the message of Jeremiah to that generation. It's the message that needs to be proclaimed to this particular age that you and I are living in right now. People that are rejecting the Lord, forsaking the Lord, neglecting to serve the Lord, walking away from the things of God, and then trying in their own power to find something that satisfies. And it will not. It will not and it cannot. So when we pray, we need to pray, folks, for a spiritual awakening in America, for people who have rejected the Lord. They have walked away from God and they think that they're going to be able to find a source of happiness and fulfillment and joy in something that this world has to offer, but they will not be able to. They will not be able to. But we can find help in the presence of the Lord. Do you find yourself spiritually dry? That was the condition that they were in. They were dry. They had broken cisterns. They had forsaken the fountain of the living God. And they were in a terrible predicament. They needed God so very desperately. Amen. So folks, let's pray tonight. And let's pray about the needs across this land in America where there's such a backslidden, walking away from the things of God, a disinterest in spiritual things, looking for fulfillment and joy and everything else the world has to offer. But prayer can make a difference. Seeking the Lord can make a difference. A real revival, an outpouring of His Holy Spirit can really make a difference in the lives of people. And that's what our prayers should be about here tonight. Would you stand with me, everybody? Hallelujah. Oh, we do thank you, Lord. We do thank you, Lord. Lord, forgive us because we have forsaken you, the living fountain. We have forsaken you, Lord, and we have tried to find fulfillment and joy in the world, in the things of this world. Lord, forgive us for that. Right here in this country, Lord, forgive us for all the direction that we have followed away from you, away from the things of God. Lord, in Jesus' name, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.